Well, let's do this. I want you to come down to the altar as we normally do, and we're going to come down and worship God on today. For this is a brand new day that he's created for us to give him the glory. Amen?
Amen.
Are you excited about this being Sunday?
Yeah.
I bet you are. Why don't you do me a favor? Why don't you use all your good teeth, whatever's left in your mouth, that is. Why don't you smile at someone and tell them it's good to see you this morning? Come on, come on. Put those hands on it. We're gonna bless him today. Here we go. From the rising of the sun to when it sets,
I will give you praise.
In every circumstance, God, you are good.
I will give you praise.
From the rising of the sun until it sets,
I will give you praise. Jesus, your love is better.
Not the drums, but the melodies of the voices of those that have been called out of darkness. I need to hear some more people from the back. Yes, I'm being intentional today with our worship. Hallelujah to God. Come on, let him hear you. Come on, don't be afraid. You're not meditating. but you're worshiping. Those that worship open their mouths and begin. That's it. I hear you now. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Say something good about it. He's the excellent God. He's the mighty God. He's the Prince of Peace. He's our Jesus. He's the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. God, we bless you. Your presence is more to us than anything. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. When you show up, we get free from everything. We are free from everything. There's nothing strong enough to stand in your presence and keep us bound. So we loose our worship in this place to another level. And we bless you. And we praise the name of the sweet Jesus. We praise the name of Jesus. We praise the name. We praise the name of Jesus. We praise the name.
He's my deliverer.
Your name, Jesus. Can I get everybody just take a deep breath? Can we just lay this week down? Come on now, let's start this one off right. And let's just sing that again. Listen, if you want to stand, stand, sit, sit, kneel, kneel, it doesn't matter. But man, you got to lay all that junk down from the week. This is Jesus's day, man. And today he just wants to hear you. You might say, I don't sing well. I don't sing well either. But it has to do with Messiah. How many are so glad Jesus washed your sins away? Yeah. Listen, man, this is not about religion. This is not about church. This is about Jesus. When we're singing Messiah, we're saying he came to save us from our sins. And today, I just want you to just lay it all down, man. Take that deep breath. Purge yourself of all the foolish things that you might even come with. You came in here. All stressed out, worried, concerned. Let's just lay him at the feet of Jesus. The Bible says, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Let's just worship him for a few minutes. Is that fair? Isn't he worthy?
Yes.
Then let's do it. Come on, lay it all down. You ready? Now listen, some of you might be watching. Maybe you're a guest of somebody in the house, and you're watching people raise their hands, and you're saying, oh my God, what are they doing? If someone came up with a gun, stuck it in your chest, said, stick them up, give me all your money, you're going to surrender. When you see someone raising their hands at church, it's just their outward manifestation saying, I surrender. That's all it is. Don't make it weird. And you know, you might be new at this, and you might be going half-mast. Go ahead, go half-mast. But you know, I challenge you while we sing this, as you touch God today. Because not only does he want to touch you, he wants you to touch him. That as we sing this, surrender yourself. Make it all fresh right now to Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Lay it all down.
Messiah, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Messiah. Messiah.
Come on, sing it with all you got. Come on.
And we say,
Messiah.
Of heaven and earth. There's no one like him. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Come on now. Come on now. The King is in the house this morning. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. You are worthy, O God. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. We bless you. We bless you. Come on, come on, come on. Come on, don't stop now. Don't stop now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, my God. Rabbi, you are awesome, oh God. We bless your name. We bless your name. I don't know about you, but I love praising him. You see, when you know God, it changes everything from singing a song to praise and worship. It changes it all. And man, it just erupts out of your spirit when you recognize Messiah. His name is Jesus. There's no other name like it. From heaven to hell and everywhere on this earth, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. There's only one Lord. Can I hear an amen? His name is Jesus. So can I hear you shout the name of Jesus? Come on, shout louder than that.
Jesus.
Come on, let's make hell nervous this morning.
Jesus.
Man, they know the name of Jesus. Every devil in hell is subject to you in the name of Jesus today. You are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus our Lord. You are not weak, you are strong. Turn to someone and say, I'm strong. Come on, tell somebody else, I'm strong. Why don't you go find five people you don't know? Don't sit down. Don't sit down. Go find five people you do not know and say, I'm strong. I got God in my side.
Come together, thunder, fall to me. Here I am to worship. Here I am.
Where's the body?
I already told you, I don't know where the body is.
This would be a lot easier if you tell me where the body is.
Tell you where the body is, man. I don't even know anything about that.
I'm only gonna ask you one more time. Where's the body?
I said I don't know!
Objection!
Pastor Spencer's turning 50, so we're throwing him a party. We want to have fun and celebrate and honor 50 years of this man of God's life. Remember, we are to give double honor to those that are in ministry, so we're going big. This party is going to be a lot of fun. We have so many stories about Pastor Spencer that we're going to share. He gives us so much material to work with. It's going to be a blast. We have a photographer coming in so you can get formal pictures done with your friends and your loved ones and maybe even Pastor Spencer. So make sure you come out. It's April 1st at the Harbor Hotel. It's formal and it costs $50. We've slashed the price, tried to keep it down as low as we can, but we want to do our best in celebrating 50 years of this man of God's life. So come out and celebrate. Make sure you book your ticket because 2 weeks before, the price will go back up to $60. So book your ticket, get it done today, and come celebrate our pastor's 50 years of life.
Hey, HT, it's that time of year again. What we're doing is... Dude, that kind of hurt my head.
4, 3, 2, 1.
We have something really awesome and exciting coming up. Easter season is here. And it's going to be on March 26th. Man, you can't do that thing. March 26th is going to be our Easter egg hunt. This is something that we love to do every year because it gives you an opportunity to invite your friends, invite your family, and to come out and enjoy the season and the time with your kids. So make sure that you're here with your kids. We're doing sixth grade and under for ages. We want to make sure that they have fun and a blast. And you never know, they might be falling from the sky. So make sure you bring them. 11 a.m. sharp, we're getting started. Be here for Easter egg hunt, March 26th, starting right at 11 a.m.
Well, there's a lot going on, isn't there? Wait a minute, there's more.
My name's Chad Spencer. I'm 23 years old, and I'm currently the young adults pastor at His Tabernacle Family Church. Before Uproar, I was kind of all over the place. I grew up in a great Christian home, had a great foundation. But as soon as I got to like the high school age area, I started dabbling, you know, with the world. And so I started, you know, I remember my first year in high school, I started smoking weed. You know, I'd smoke weed quite a few times a week, and then I started drinking, and then I started hanging around with the party crowd, and then, you know, with partying, it led to sleeping around, and so I was just kind of doing what everybody else was doing, and I just really wanted to fit in, and what I found was the world no longer had anything to offer me. I had exhausted all of the resources and all of the things that people had said was the best and that I would always want. And so I just decided in myself that there must be something more. Uproar did incredible things in my life. So once I came to the knowledge that I wanted to change, there was this amazing conference that was put on. And I came to Uproar just expecting something to happen in my life. And so when I came with that expectation, the ministers and preachers started preaching, and I just got touched in a radical way. And then that Sunday, Teddy Shuttlesworth Jr. started preaching. And at the end of the service, he called me out and prophesied over my life and told me that from 365 days from that day, August 5th, that my life would be completely different and people would not even be able to recognize me. And so after that prophecy was the day that my life changed. From that day, I was never the same. I stopped drinking. I stopped partying. I separated myself from my friends. I quit everything, went to Bible school, and just really just made a change. And the prophecy was so true because 365 days from that day, you could look at me and I would look like a completely different person. Both spiritually and even physically, I looked different. And God just changed my life in such a radical way. So I went to Bible school. I enrolled in River Bible Institute in Tampa. I started getting incredible training and teaching down there. I met my beautiful wife in my second year. And then we made the decision to go to South Africa, where she's from, and do our third year internship there. And so we got married in South Africa, and now we've come back to New York to start a young adults ministry here in His Tabernacle Family Church. And because people sowed into the Uproar Conference, my life was changed and impacted. And now I get to go and impact and help change other people's lives too.
You would be amazed on how many lives have been changed. And, you know, honestly, the miracles that have happened to allow that to happen, it is a free conference. It's the only free conference with this magnitude of speakers that comes in. And I just want to say thank you because you are the folks that make it happen. Your giving and your love and your passion and your ministry literally change everything. It literally changes everything. And sometimes we minimize our worth. And God wants you to know today, you have great worth because God is using you to change many, many lives. Now, because his life was changed, all the young people, they had 31 college and career age from the age of graduating high school to 29, were here on Tuesday night worshiping God and having an experience with Jesus. And that's in 1 month. 1 month. Just imagine. We're believing God for 500 young people in that area. So today we just want to say thank you so much. You know, we want to welcome our online campus. Thank you so much for being with us every single Sunday. There are between 75 and 100 computers, and we don't count you as a computer. We count you as a face. We'd like to know who you are. And if you could just send us some note just letting us know who you are, we'd appreciate it. We have a decal, His Tabernacle decal. Only the folks online, television, and our online campus for live stream are getting these specific decals. So if you'll email me at histab@histabernacle.com, we'll make sure we get one out to you. And this way, every time, can you let them know that you'll be praying for them?
Yes.
We're praying for you. Amen. You're part of us. Amen. And we thank God. And we want to welcome all of our guests in the room this morning. If you're a first-time guest, we're not going to embarrass you, but you're a first-time guest at His Tabernacle, could you raise your hand up right now? We just want to celebrate you being in the room and being with us today. Young man, Sean, you're old as Jesus. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Anybody? Your first-time guest at His Tabernacle. Young lady, we greeted earlier. Anybody else? First-time guest. We're not going to embarrass you, we promise. We have a gift for you. My wife just said, we have a gift. So can we give our guests a hand clap? Can you remind everybody? HT plus one. Shout it out loud. HT plus one. Come on, shout it out loud again. HT. Plus one. That means everybody in this house brings one soul to the house of God in the month of March. And I'm excited about that. I don't know about you. That means we'll have this month alone over 1,300 guests. That's a lot of people. And so I want to encourage you, turn to someone and say, HT plus one. Don't forget. Amen. We also want to let everybody know we're doing something new today, and that is for all of our guests, we're going to have a guest reception for you right after service.
You could come right around the side there, go right out that door, go around the left-hand side, and you'll see people in the hallway. If you'd like to meet the pastors and some of the staff, we'd love to meet you and just introduce ourselves and let you know how important you are to the vision of God. Amen? So for everybody, if you're a guest, we have a guest reception. I also have 10 His Tabernacle Family Church stickers, car stickers for you. Who would like one this morning? If you would like one for your vehicle, yeah, I was going to say, you got to come get them. Your new car, young man, young lady, young man. I got one left.
He's running.
Look at. Here we go. Oh, get that young man a sticker, Pastor Daniel. Now, I want to remind you, put those on the outside of your car, or you're going to have to run around with the ambulance all day. So they go on the outside, not on the inside of your vehicle. Now, how many of you have been seeing His Tabernacle Family Church stickers all over the place? Isn't it great? Except when they pass you at 90, then you pray for them. Jesus, help us all. Amen? So just remember, if someone's over on the side of the road, you see an HD sticker, that's your family. Stop and say, hey, you need a ride? You know, let them know that you care. We love you. Pastor Rhonda.
Amen. How many of you were challenged with the opportunity of honor this past week? Sometimes multiple times, but wow, God has been doing some incredible miracles, and we've been getting testimonies in of the awesome things that God is doing when we choose to honor over dishonor every time. And one of the areas is in our finances. When we honor God with our finances, God promises to show up. It's the one area He actually says, try me, test me in this, and see if I will not open the windows of heaven. I have literally never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed out begging for bread. I've never seen it. I've seen blessing and miracles and favor and opportunity and prosperity when we choose to honor God with our finances, in our tithes, and in being good stewards of the finances that he has given us. I love the passage in Matthew 9:29. It says, according to your faith, let it be unto you. And the word of God says, with what measure you give, that's the measure it's going to be given unto you. And according to that faith, it shall be done to you. So we need to increase our faith. Where is our faith, our trust being put? Is it being put in God's kingdom finances? Are we putting our trust in our own abilities? Or are we putting that trust into our job or the economy or the world's economy? Where are we putting our trust? Because the word of God right here says, according to where you're putting your trust is where it's going to come from. I want to put my trust and my faith in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that says, try me in this, test me in this, and see if I will not open the windows of heaven. So try God in this thing. Try him in honor, in giving your tithes and your offerings to him, and watch God show up miraculous in your finances. Not putting our trust in our own self and our own ability or in jobs, because those can shift and change at a second's notice. But God never changes. He is the constant. He is our solid rock under our feet. So we want to put our faith in him. According to your faith, it shall be done to you. Let's stand to our feet. We'll make our supernatural declaration that is God's word that we will put our faith to in Deuteronomy 28. And it says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse and I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. According to your faith shall it be unto you. Bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord this morning. If you're watching by a live stream, make sure you give too. Click on the giving button and give right along with us. According to your faith, it shall be done unto you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. Turn to someone next to you and say, I'm so glad you're here today. Turn to the person on the other side and say, you look just marvelous. Even if they don't, prophesy into them, glory to God. I'm getting used to no microphone in my hand. It's a little awkward, so be patient with me. Well, I'm excited today because I get a great opportunity. Can we make sure the ushers have all of the vision and mission statements starting to be passed out now, please? So I'm excited that today I get to share with you. 2 weeks ago, I was able to preach the Word of God about how we got where we're at. How many of you were excited to hear all the miracles that God did to get us where we're at? Turn to someone and say, thank God for the seeds of the past. Now, I want to remind you that all of us are today sitting in somebody else's seed. We're enjoying the harvest that somebody else took the time to plant, whether it be money, or whether it be a chainsaw, whether it be a shovel, whether it be children's ministry. What's that, my wife? Right. Amen. No matter what has happened, every one of us are participating with the seed that somebody else has planted. Today, I want to talk to you and I about the seed that we are planting. Turn to someone and say, I believe in seeding and harvest. The Bible declares in Habakkuk chapter 2, and it says this. Then the Lord answers and said to me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. The Bible says that we are to write the vision. One thing that I have found is a church without a vision, a people without the vision, are always going to run in chaos. This is why we had you all do a faith wall, because that gives you vision for the year, that gives you direction how to pray, that gives you direction how to believe, that gives you direction how to release your faith. You see, there is a situation in American churches today where many churches no longer have a vision, they just simply have church. But God has never called us to have church. He's called us to build his kingdom. And his kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven, is planned and purposed and intentional. You see, God is an intentional God, and vision is intentional. You see, the challenge with many of our lives is our lives meld from 1 year to the next. One decade to the next, nothing changes. Nothing really is diverse or different because we have no clear direction in where we're going. Where there is no clarity, you can only live in fog. And if you're living in the fog, it's just a certain period of time before you crash. Can I hear an amen? How many of you want to live in a crashed situation? How many of you have ever been in a crash? Did you say, wow, that was fun? I don't even care if it's a fender bender. Your heart starts to palpitate a little bit. You're woken up. Why? Because something that should not have happened did. I want you to know that when you're a visionary, when you're a person who lives inside of a vision, then you are an individual that has a direction in life. So we must lay hold of the truth of vision. The Bible is so very clear. You must write the vision. You must make it clear on tablets. You must make it so that someone else who reads the vision of your life and or a church can read it with understanding and run with it with passion. You see, today, this house is not lost. We are not bewildered. We are not confused. At His Tabernacle Family Church, we know exactly where we're going, and we know what we're going to acquire. Why? Because the vision of this house is clear, written on, what do they call it, paper that is laminated that you have in your hand. Who does not have your laminated vision statement in your hand right yet? Does everybody have a laminated vision statement? Oh, glory to God. Turn to someone and say, I got my vision. Now, I want to remind you, the Bible talks about you should never, ever, ever make a person of higher priority than they're supposed to. That we're supposed to give honor where honor is due. But what has happened in many churches across America is we have made the pastors almost like a god. I'm here to tell you that God doesn't love a pastor any more than he loves anybody else. I said any more than anybody else. The fact is that we all got a job to do. If I don't do my job, you can't do yours. And if you don't do yours, I can't do mine. So let's stop playing the foolish game of Christianity and church, and let's get this job done. Can I hear an amen? You see, that's the vision of God, that none should perish. But beyond that, every church is just like Baskin and Robbins. How many here like ice cream? We call it salad in this church. We're trying to make it as healthy as possible. How many of you know that Baskin Robbins has 31 flavors? What's your favorite flavor? Chocolate, butter, what? Butter pecan. Mint chocolate chip, Rocky Road, German chocolate chip. I haven't even heard of that one. Cake. Oh, I'm sorry. What's that? Somebody else. Peanut butter. Nutter butter. Oreo. What else? Cracker Barrel is not a flavor. Come on, somebody else. Give me your favorite flavor. Tutti Frutti. I heard popcorn. Did someone say popcorn? Birthday cake. Oh, I like birthday cake. Mr. Redner really likes salad birthday cake. For myself, I love chocolate chip. Oh, I just, you know, you say, that's kind of bland. But you take chocolate chip ice cream and you pour Welch's grape soda over it, and it just makes a great little thing. Here's one for you. Mint chocolate chip ice cream with Welch's grape soda. You got to try it. You know, we can look at all that ice cream, but there's something that's similar. And that is, they all have the same base. You see, every church should have the same base. What is the base? There is no name under heaven while you shall be saved, but by the name of Jesus. A church can't save you. A religion can't save you. A pastor can't save you. Mommy and daddy can't save you. There's only one name under heaven while you shall be saved, and that's through the name of Jesus Christ. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You see, that is the base of every church. If that is not the base of a church, then it's not a church, it's a social club. If you say, well, I had somebody say to me this week, well, you know, Pastor, you're just mean to other churches. Oh, no, I'm not mean. Read the book of Revelations 2 and 3. Hear what Jesus has to say to the socialistic churches. He said, I'm going to remove your candlestick, which means you're not going to heaven. I'm going to vomit you. Projectile is the actual Greek word. I'm going to projectile vomit you out of my mouth. You see, this, especially in the last days that we are in, there is a time to shake ourselves from our religiosity. There's a time to kill every religious cow that we have in our closet. And it's time to stand up and be the men and women of God that he's called us to be, with the clarity of vision, with the clarion call to bring forth the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation. I am not ashamed. You see, in this house, we believe that we have a different flavor. We're not better. None of the flavors are better at Baskin Robbins, but we have a different flavor. What is our flavor? Our flavor is we have core values. And in this house, we don't diverge from them. We don't go away from them. We stay right with what God has called us to do, because that gives us and keeps us in clarity of vision. You see, the message or the verse for His Tabernacle Family Church is found in John chapter 17, verse 3. And this is what it says. And this is eternal life, that we may know you. Turn to someone and say, I got to know God. Come on, tell somebody else, I got to know God. And this is eternal life. You see, we think of eternal life as, well, when I get to heaven. No, baby. Every one of us is eternal. Every single person in this room, every person on this planet is eternal. We're either eternally saved because we've confessed Christ, or we're eternally damned because we haven't. Every human being, there is no soul sleep. There is no just, I'm dead. Every human, every person created in the image of God, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. Every one of us as humans are eternal creatures. Therefore, we are importantly designed and desired to know and want God. So the word is so clear, and this is eternal life. Eternal life isn't getting to heaven, it's knowing him. And you know, heaven is that cherry on top. The only true God in Jesus whom you have sent. We have got to have vision. And in this house, we want you to know that you don't marry the preacher, you marry the vision. So you've got to know the vision. You've got to understand the vision. You've got to know where we're going, because we aren't lost. And in that, even when you don't agree, can I hear an amen? Somebody said to me, well, I'm leaving the church because I don't agree with everything that goes on. Then I've got to go too, because I don't agree with everything that goes on. Somebody said to me, you let sinners in there. Duh. I mean, how do you even respond to that stupid statement? Well, you know, there are a lot of bad people in that church. Huh? Do you go to the gym? Come on now. Jesus said, I didn't come for the healthy. I came for the sick. This place is where God has called us to change lives. Not us changing lives, but God changing lives through us. Can I hear an amen? At His Tabernacle Family Church, we only do three things. Grab your little card. It's really easy. No, we're not chanting. The rumors are great. They chant at that church. Ready? This is all we do. Three things. Say it out loud with me. We love God, save souls, and develop leaders. Come on, shout it out loud. At His Tabernacle, we save souls. Oh, excuse me. I'll start over. I messed that one up. Here we go. At His Tabernacle, we love God, we save souls, and we develop leaders. That's all we do. Because that is the flavor that God has put in this house. And in that, we have some diverse things that we have to stay to. And that is this. God has told us that at this house, we are going to be filled with tons of grace and tons of mercy. That this house was raised up to have grace and mercy because he was going to bring people that nobody else would accept through those doors. That nobody else would have ever thought would ever have been saved will walk through the doors. They won't feel condemnation. They won't feel repelled. They won't feel that somebody's gossiping about them, because there is no gossip allowed in this church. Now listen, I've been hearing about some gossip. I'm giving you fair warning. I will come to you personally, and I will say to you, you need to stop. If I catch you a second time, I'm going to say strongly, you really need to stop. The third time, I'm going to say, there's a church right down the road that accepts gossip. Why don't you head down the street? People say, well, you know, that's not nice. Well, you know what? I'm not willing that someone walks through that building who was once serving the devil with all they got, and everybody in the area knew them, but they walked through that building. I don't want them to feel condemned. I want them to know that this is a safe place, that they can come and be accepted and forgiven and loved and grow and change. This has got to be what God has called it to be, a house full of grace and mercy. You see, this gossip thing is important. There are people that are in this room today because you were going to churches and you got wounded in a place that gossiped all about you. We want you to know that this is a safe place, because we all got things in our lives and we're all messed up. Turn to someone and say, I think you're messed up. You didn't hear him argue with it, did you? Because we all got issues. We all got something. Come on now. We all got something we're working through. I don't care if you're newly saved a day or you're born again for 50 years. Everybody's got something that God is dealing with in your heart. Can I hear an amen or oh my? You see, God has sent us not to go and to pull people out of different churches. Now, I believe that God will have folks come that are dissatisfied, that are not getting fed, that are not in a spirit-filled church. They might come to this place from there. But our great passion is the unsaved. Those also that have been disenfranchised, where they used to go to church and they stopped and walked away. I remember Dad Henry. Many of you might remember him, might not remember him, but Dad Henry was one of my favorite guys. Now, I don't really have favorites, but I really favorited Dad Henry because Dad Henry came to this church when he was 82 years old. He walked in the doors. He came in with a smug little look, and he gave his heart back to Jesus at 82 years old. Now, let me tell you, I used to go out to lunch with Dad Henry. I would always really want to drive. He scared me a few times. But when he passed away, he went on to be with the Lord. What a celebration that at 82 years old, a disenfranchised, he had been out of church over 40 plus years, could walk into a building and feel the love of Jesus and have his life transformed by the power of God and the love of the saints. Can I hear an amen? I love the fact that God wants the disenfranchised back, that he's after you. For you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And I've ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, is what Jesus said. You see, I love the fact that this house is a place where sinners can come, where people who are rejected from other locations can come, and they can truly feel the love and the forgiveness of God. How many of you need forgiveness in your life at some point in time? How many of you think you're better than somebody else? But that's not true. Some of you actually do. And that's those that gossip. You see, when you're a gossiper, it's because you believe that you're better than somebody else. That's where gossip comes out of. It comes out of pride. That you think that your life is all good enough and in line that you can look at somebody else, take your eyes off your own issues, put them on somebody else's, and magnify theirs to hide yours. Oh, can I hear an amen or oh my? Because that was a good one. So this house, our passion is the lost. Now I want you to know something. When you have a vision, there always has to be finances that go towards that vision. There are a lot of churches that say, well, we're soul driven, but they never take a dollar or they never take time and go into the community. Listen, we have 8,000 cars, the last I had checked when we were down at our old building, we had it counted. 8,000 cars go up Old Ithaca Road every single day. They could give a flying leap what we're doing in the middle of the field. Why does a church have a blue roof? I don't know, it's a good conversation piece. But ultimately, there are people that are driving by every day. Listen, they're not going to just walk into the building. We've been called to go get them. Can I hear an amen? I said, can I hear an amen? God has placed you in the circle of influence that you have to touch the unsaved, to touch those who have never known Christ, to touch those who have walked away because they've been wounded or disillusioned and confused. God wants to restore them, just like my son. My son grew up in this church. Listen, I thought I was a really good parent. I didn't realize he was doing all those things. No, really, I didn't know I slept that heavy. And honestly, I had no clue he was out drinking. I mean, we caught him later in life, but I had real no clue he was drinking. I didn't know. I mean, we did catch him once with weed in his car. Thank God for Jody Dyke. She knows all that kind of stuff. But honestly, if God hadn't touched him in the uproar conference, today he would have been in not this location. He would not be leading a ministry. He would not be married to that young lady. He would not be serving God. We've got to recognize that there are places and positions in our lives that God has placed us and God has put to change and transition individuals. And this house is a place for the unsaved. This house is a place for the disillusioned. This house is a place for those that are hungering and thirsting for more of God. I believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. I believe that God still heals all the time. I believe that God still prophesies and speaks to his children. I believe in the gift of faith. I believe that God still casts out devils in his name. I believe in deliverance. I believe in the Bible as it says it in the book of Acts. We will never leave the principles of the book of Acts. That is who we are. You see, as God first gave us the vision, it was very clear. He said, I want you to reach no less than 1% of the community. And at that point, our region was about 90,000 people. And so we started this house saying, God, we thank you. Now, I didn't say, where are they? I started thanking him for them, because the Bible declares that the harvest is already ready. God, I thank you for the harvest. I thank you for the souls that will be saved. And you know, 15 years, 16 years later, our vision was 900 people. And you know what? Right now, in 2016, every single Sunday, there's about 700 people that come into the house. And between the week, our diverse people, not recounting, we have administered to about 950 to 1,000 souls every single week come in this building. Never mind, there are 1,300 people that call this their home and are here every single month. That does not include our online folks. I want you to know that the initial vision that God had placed in our heart has been accomplished, and you're part of that vision. Can I hear an amen? Now I said, God, now that we've reached that part of the vision, what do you want us to do now? And he says, you know what? I want you to have no less than 5,000. So build a building that seats 2,500. People say to me, well, they said in the beginning, you'll never get a church to 900 in this area. And I said, it has nothing to do with the church. This has to do with the kingdom. This has to do with people. This has to do with people that are breathing, that are going to heaven or hell, and God loves them. What is 900 people in an arena of 90,000? And God has shown that. I'm believing God for 5,000 souls. I'm believing for 5,000 people every single Sunday will raise their hands in the house of worship that will be built out front. And I can't wait to hear the arousal, the shout, and the praise. I can't wait to hear the hand clap. I can't wait to see the change. I can't wait to see the traffic. I'm really excited to see the traffic. What's that going to be? See, I'm believing God that every Tuesday night with Awaken and Rock Solid Faith, there'll be 500 in this building. I'm believing that every Wednesday with Matthew chapter 25 and Raw, the young people, there'll be another 500. I'm believing God that on every Thursday, there'll be another 500 with Uproar Youth Ministries. I'm believing God that this house will be filled every single night of the week. I'm believing it. Why? Because people need the Lord. I just want to share with you some things that we do, because it's not just talk. I want you to turn to someone and say, this house, my church, is not lip service. We get it done. No, you need to know. In this house, we get it done. In this house, we put our money where our mouth is. Can I hear an amen? Last year, this house gave $270,000 to home and foreign missions. $270,000 to invest in our community, to invest in the children, to invest in Elmira, to invest in buses, to invest. We've invested because we believe. We don't just say it, we do it. This is a house of action, not of just proclamation. In this house, every single year, I just want to talk about this year. This year, we're doing 28 major community events. I don't think I heard excitement on that one. You see, when we recognize that we're a soul-winning church, God always blesses a soul-winning church. I just want to share them with you. Can I share some with you? Here we go. I want to share with you that every single week we bus in right around 220 children from Elmira to this church on a Wednesday night and a Thursday night. Can I have the bus drivers stand to their feet? A lot of times they don't get any recognition. They're out on the streets on Sunday morning. Come on, Curtis. Hallelujah. Come on, come on, come on. Bus drivers, there are more in there. Where's the rest of them? Oh, over on that side. They're just not getting up. We could always use more bus drivers. Why? Because we believe in reaching the lost. More people. We had a lady call this morning. I'd like to, can I, is there a bus coming down to Elmira? I need a ride. We also feed about 220 children and clothe them every single week. In this house, we minister to three elderly facilities. Founders, the Villa Serene, and what's the one in Montour Falls? Falls Home. Every single week, people from this house go into those ministries, go into those places, some bi-weekly, some every week, some every Wednesday. Brother Carl, could you stand? He's in charge of all of that. And I thank God for his team. Every week, we're going in. You want to know why? There's no greater mission field than those getting ready to step into eternity. People forget them, but they're a great harvest field. Can I hear an amen? Every week, is it every week, Pastor, we go to Bragg? Bragg Towers Feeding? Wow. We need folks to stand up and say, I got a Friday off, I'll help with Bragg Tower and Feeding. We also know that we do every single year, we do a night of faith with the Jackals hockey team. We also support the EOP. This year, you provided 900 cookies to feed people on Martin Luther King Day. In this church, we do the Easter egg hunt, which is usually the front lawn is just plastered with people. We do Easter programs with Pastor. I can't wait for the one this year. It's going to be just phenomenal. We do the Empowering Pastors Summit, where last year, literally, three pastors who were walking out of the ministry said they would never again go into ministry, realigned themselves, and today they're going to serve God in their church. They're not leaving the ministry because of you. We do the motorcycle blessing every year. This last year, I believe there was 150 people that registered. I can't wait to see what's going to happen this year. Every Memorial Day, we do two parades. Not one, we do two. We do Strong Kids, Safe Kids Festival. We do the Uproar Conference in the month of July, August, right in the midst. I thank God for that. Last year, there were 800 teenagers that came to the Uproar Conference. We do the county fair as an outreach. We are going to do this year two Rock the Parks. Glory to God. We're looking at doing one right down in Thorn Park, and we'd like to have fireworks. Wouldn't that be stinking cool? But we do one. We're doing one this year in September down at Grove Park. We're going down into Grove Park. We're going to have the Shuttlesworths come in. We have. Terry preaching on Tuesday, Tim preaching on Wednesday, Teddy preaching on Thursday, Jonathan preaching on Friday, and Tiff preaching on Saturday, and we're gonna rock the park. Can I hear an amen? Every year we do the Harvest Festival, where about 300 to 400 children come through, and instead of going out into the world, they can come into a safe place. We do Holly Days, and we do the Sparkle Festivals. We do the Elmira Parade and the Corning Winter Parade. We do a men's conference every year with pastors, sometimes two. We do a Christmas program. We have His Word TV. Yesterday, I went down into the arena to go to that festival. Where do they do that? What's that called? The Outdoor Expo. And I came up to a table, and three ladies from Wellsboro says, "We know you. Why don't you ever let your wife talk?" They watch every week. It's amazing when you get into the community how many people are watching His Word TV. Can I give a special shout out to Rick Sheets? He's up in the booth. He's switching this morning. Rick, can you stand up? Stand up, Rick. Rick, stand up. Rick, stand up. Rick Sheets. Rick Sheets edits the TV program every single week. Takes time right out of his schedule to edit that television program for the community. Live stream every single week. And we also do Mexico. We have two churches in Mexico right now that we are ministering and investing. One is called Campeche. And I'm believing God that at the beginning of 17 or the end of 16, you'll be able to go to Campeche. We need to do some work down there to help them build the kingdom of God. Isn't that going to be exciting? You see, we aren't talking about ministry, we're doing ministry. We're not talking about doing nice things, we're doing things. Now, for you, many of you don't know. I'm finding that many of you don't know how many teaching things we have at this church. You see, we don't want you to be ignorant. Turn to someone and say, you should not be ignorant. How many Christians are absolutely ignorant about what they believe? It would amaze you to realize how many Christians don't know their elbow from their fanny. It's true. In this house, we're a teaching church. We do rock solid faith three times a week. We do it on Tuesday night at 7, child care is provided. On Wednesday morning at 9, child care provided, 9 a.m.
in case you work nights. We also do Thursday night at 6 p.m., child care provided. We also have Catch the Vision on Sunday morning. In fact, right after this service, you can go to Catch the Vision and learn how God established this church. We're doing discipleship programs. We're doing the men's Bible study, the women's Bible study. We have divorce care. We have a budgeting class, leadership academy, healing journey, Thursday night Bible study, Financial Peace University. We have worship classes. We're starting parenting classes for moms. We do the empowering pastors training for leaders and business individuals every Tuesday for free. And we do Region Bible Institute, where we have a Bible school right here in this church. We do all of that teaching every single week right here. Maybe people don't know how many connection groups we got. I've heard people say, well, you know, I don't like going to bigger churches because I just feel like part of the herd. Listen, if you feel like part of the herd, it's because you choose not to participate. Not only are those teaching classes where you get to know somebody, but then in this house, we do prayer every single Monday through Thursday from 6:15 to 6:29 on the phone line. You can grab it while you're at home. And every other week, we do a prayer at 5 a.m. right here at this church. We have nursery ministry. We have His Kids. We have Raw, which is the 9 to 11-year-olds. We have Uproar, which is the 12 to 18-year-olds. We have Awaken, which is the graduated all the way to 29-year-olds. We have H-Links, literally all over this region, where you can join them and build relationships. We have Senior Breakfast once a month. We have a Corning Luncheon with the Corning Incorporated individuals. We have Line Crossers Motorcycle Ministry Association. We have SWAT, which is the folks that help build all the great props that I preach with. We have the sportsman's ministry. We have a hospitality ministry. We have an entrepreneurs group, which we just started yesterday. It was awesome. How many people in this house want to start a business? We had the privilege of having Pastor Andrea Ogunwumi and Pastor Obina Igbo as some of the teachers who were training and developing. And some of you other business leaders we're going to ask as well. We have a millionaire posse. Glory to God. And in this year, we're going to be starting different types of groups. In fact, some of you like to knit. I'd like to start a knitting group in this church. I'm not going. You know, there's something that you like, that you enjoy. Maybe an ATV group. Maybe this other kind of, whatever God lays on your heart. But you got to be living right. Can I hear an amen? That's right. Maybe a car group or, you know, this different places where people can get together and build relationships. You see, in this church, the vision is very clear. We are going to save as many souls as we can. We are going to truly get people to know God, not just know about God. We are going to walk in the power and the authority of Jesus' name, and we are going to take back. I just want you to know this, that our community is recognizing that this coming Thursday night, this Thursday, the mayor of Elmira will be in one of the side rooms feeding food to the children. And then the next Wednesday, he will be back to feed all. Wednesday, the sixth graders and below, as well as one of our local legislators, will be in that room feeding children. Even our community is believing what we're doing. The food bank came and visited this last week, and their eyes were teared as they saw the children in the rooms. They said, there's nobody else in this entire region doing what you're doing to the kids of this region. I don't want you to know that is not without you. Turn to someone and say, you're part of the vision. Turn to someone and say, you're part of the vision. Can you grab your little card? I just want to read this and then we're going to close real quickly. I want to read the 10-year vision statement. I want you to read it with me. Ready? 1, 2, 3, read. His Tabernacle Family Church will become a multi-site regional gathering place where thousands of people from every culture will experience God's love, acceptance, and forgiveness through His people. Our focus is clear. Win people to Jesus in the marketplace. Every child, youth, and adult will be empowered through the practical teaching from the Word of God to become future leaders in the church, family, government, business, education, arts, and media. We will develop hundreds of connection groups that will build a sense of community. We will also reach out externally by starting ministry centers in surrounding communities. Our commitment to develop future leaders from within will be done by growing the educational departments of Apex, Rock Solid Faith, and Regent Bible Institute. In order to handle our growth of people coming to Christ, our current property will become a ministry campus that will include a 2,500 sanctuary with state-of-the-art audio and visual technology, a large parking garage, sporting fields, and educational facilities. We are His Tabernacle Family Church. You are up. We know where we're going. And I don't know about you, there's nothing greater than being part of something bigger than yourself. And every one of you have such important gifts. You're called. God has a touch on your life. For you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, he said. And he has this purpose in your life so that you will be an individual that will put your gifts to work, your talents to work in this house to change lives. Turn to someone and say, you are imperative to the vision. Hallelujah. I'm going to have my wife come up. We're going to end. I don't know what all that popping is. Is that me? Is my microphone? We want to give you an opportunity to sow. You know, this house, we never beg, we never plead. But man, we'd be fools not to give you an opportunity to sow into what you just heard, all those things that are happening this year in 2016. Just the outreaches alone are $85,000. You should feel the hairball come up. But what's amazing is recognizing that in this house, there's more than $85,000 to accomplish a job. And it doesn't mean anybody has to empty their bank account. Everyone just simply needs to obey God. So the ushers are passing out envelopes right now. Some of you might not have it on you, but you're going to say, Pastor, in a few weeks, I'll have it. Some of you are getting your taxes back. Pastor, when I get my taxes back, I'm going to take and I'm going to sow a tenth of that back into the kingdom of God. I want to challenge you. I'm believing that even today, we can raise enough money to be able to take every outreach we have and pay it off. Let me tell you one that bothers me. I had a pastor call me this week. And he said, Pastor, the Empowering Pastors Conference right now is going to cost about $20,000. He said, Pastor, I would love to come, but my church is small. And my wife and I don't have any money. Our church can't afford it, so we would love to come, but we cannot. I refuse to allow that to happen. I refuse to ever allow somebody not get from God because they can't afford it. And I believe in the Lord that through you, through me, through this house, through the vision of the people that are watching right now by live stream, that we can have more than enough, that no pastor, no child will ever have to say, I can't come because I can't afford it. I refuse to allow the devil to win over a dollar. Can I hear an amen? Can I hear an amen? So in this house today, I just want to give you opportunity to sow. I'm not going to beg you. I'm not going to plead. Some pastors will say, you got to give such and such and so. I don't ever do that game. It's a game. I just want you to hear God. Some of you will give nothing. That's fine. I don't know who gives. I don't know who doesn't. All I know is that God loves people. And whatever he lays on your heart, I know that if everybody does simply that, it will meet every single need. Can I hear an amen? So, Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you so much for the privilege of serving our region. Thank you, God, that we are not a church sitting in the middle of a cornfield singing kumbaya and just doing our religious thing. But Lord, you have called us to action. We are the greatest army this world has ever seen. We will put our hands to the plow and will not look back. Thank you, God, for the souls that were saved last year. Thank you for the souls that we saved this year. Thank you, God, for the opportunity to go into this region and to declare that our God is not dead, but you are alive. Thank you, God, that we're not in word only, but we are in deed, because we're a people that believe in the vision of this house. Lord, I thank you for the vision and how big it is. And I thank you that it's bigger than everyone in this room. So God, you are the provider of the vision. Do what you do best. Fund your kingdom come, your will be done. Then Lord, when we're done and we see you face to face, you'll say to us, well done, thou good and faithful servants. Enter into your rest. Lord, we choose to do all that we can while we're here on this planet to serve you with all of our heart, our mind, our body, soul, and strength. We will seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Lord, we give you honor and praise that we have the opportunity and privilege to give, to sow, that we'll receive a harvest as well. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Today, yeah, my wife wants to speak.
He does let me speak when I can turn on my microphone. I just want to share, I love these messages that he's had for us. The last one that he spoke on where we've come from. You see, today we're sitting in the harvest of what those before us had sowed. And today, the message that he gave is so exciting because we're the seed of what tomorrow's harvest is going to be. And that is so incredibly exciting. It's exciting where we're at and all the miracles that are happening, that have happened to get us here. But it is so exciting to see tomorrow the harvest that's going to come from our seat. We feel so insignificant. But you're sitting in significance today because somebody else just did their little part. And if we're doing our part today, the significance of tomorrow is going to be incredible. And with Empowering Pastors, I just want to share, this is such a privilege to be able to invest in pastors. Because when we invest in one pastor, oh, that's a seed that is powerful. We're investing in an entire church, and we're investing in an entire region and community. When we invest in one event into those pastors, we're investing into thousands of lives. And Pastor, we don't just do Empowering Pastors event. He keeps with these men and these pastors all year round. He once a week is with them, training them. He is at their call. He is spending hours investing in them. So Empowering Pastors is not just this $20,000 event. It is a year-round investment that you are making into regions across the world right now.
Just before you give, I got to say this. We get not a dime from what is raised. You see, a lot of people have this warped mentality. Well, the pastor just needs a new ATV. I want you to know that my salary is determined by the trustees of this church. They are the ones that make decisions about what my wife and I, what I make as a pastor. I'm not even allowed, according to IRS law, to be in the room. I have not taken a raise, and this will be the third year. And I'm okay with that because I'd rather see lives change. My wife and I are okay. I'd rather see lives change. Can I hear an amen?
And then the Shuttlesworth Revival, I am telling you, we are believing, I know I can't stop, we are believing that we're changing our culture, right? This is the seeds that change our culture. We're going to be down there. Last year, it was only a couple days. We know now that you have to be there for some time before you. So we're going to take some time to be in our community, and it's going to be powerful seed.
I have to take that away because she won't stop. She's worse than I am, honestly. If you'll just bow your head with me real quickly. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're saying, my goodness, all that stuff's happening. I'll tell you why it's happening, because we're kingdom people. And today, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I'm not asking you to join a church or religion. I want you to know God. That's John 17:3. So today, if you'd like to know Jesus, become a citizen of heaven and participate with the greatness that God has for you, the plan for your life, I would like you to raise your hand up right now if you'd like to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I'm not going to wait long. Is there anyone in the room that needs Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Get your hand up. 5, 4, come on, get your hand up. 3, 2, last call, 1. Let's all stand to our feet. Father, as they give this morning,
Lord, as some are going to be able to give in a few weeks, I declare that every seed will come to harvest quickly. I declare, God, that what they're believing you for, whether it be financial, whether it be emotional, whether it be their family, Lord, no matter what their seed is, that God, they will believe you for a phenomenal harvest, for it will change lives for the glory of God. So we seal it right now in Jesus' name. We thank you for the privilege of serving our community. We thank you for the privilege of serving our region. And God, we thank you that this will never stop, but only increase for the glory of God. In Jesus' name. And everybody shouted. I said everybody shouted. Come on, one more time. Everybody shouted. I love you. Serve God with all of your hearts. I need the two Marines to come forward, please. Chris, I want to pray with you before you leave. Michael, I want to pray with you before you leave. We have two Marines that are leaving back to active duty. I want to pray with them.